God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Humans have never been more public and less durable, perhaps, than they are today. A 14-year-old in Toledo has as wide a cast as Caesar would have had so many thousands of years ago. It's amazing. At the same time, we're less durable. So, for instance, if someone is engaged to be married nowadays, it's probably been videoed and put out on social media in a number of ways. And I'm not saying that's intrinsically wrong. The question is, how likely is it that marriage will last? Likewise, there are all kinds of venues that are engaged, costing, you know, many thousands of dollars for wedding ceremonies that will result in a marriage that may last 5 years. Very public, not very durable. Or, you know, expectant parents will have a gender reveal. Again, I'm not saying this is intrinsically wrong, but you've got fireworks and explosions and a house burns down and they reveal the gender of their coming child. However, what are the chances that child will be raised by two parents that love each other and stick together? I don't know, but I am saying that we're more public and less durable than we perhaps have ever been before. That is why in Psalm 89, the faithfulness of God is such a poignant topic. The faithfulness of God is found throughout the Psalm. You find it, the faithfulness of God in verses 1, 2, 5, 8, 24, and 33. Verse 1 says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Faithfulness meaning to be firm or secure or stable or true. If we talk about, well, this is my truth, then it's not truth. If I talk about gravity, I'm not talking about my gravity. Either it's a law or it is not. If I step off the balcony of a third-story building, then I know it's going to happen, regardless of what my truth says about it. So I'm not trying to be cranky. I'm just simply saying that God's faithfulness is something that is firm, secure, stable, and it is true. Now, in Psalm 89, this faithfulness of God is first of all demonstrated in nature and in history. Regarding nature, the psalmist says that God rules the raging of the sea. Now, nothing is more unstable than the sea, and nothing is more stable than the faithfulness of God. In verse 10, he says, Thou, God, hast broken Rahab in pieces, speaking of Egypt. Rahab is an allusion to Egypt. So, in history and in nature, God has shown himself to be faithful and powerful. The intent of the psalm is to describe the faithfulness of God. In verse 2, it talks about mercy of God shall be built up forever, and thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. So, for duration and for height, it is limitless. God's faithfulness. Verse 11, he says, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. So in the heavens and on the earth, God is faithful. Verse 12, he talks about the north and the south. And so what he's talking about is from one end to the other, from high to lowest low, God is faithful. And then he gets to the real point, and that is God's faithfulness to David, the Davidic covenant. In verse 20, the psalmist has God saying, or God says through the psalmist, I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. And then he talks about his faithfulness to David. And he talks about his faithfulness not failing. And then at the last, and this is where the psalm really kind of turns, in verse 38, after talking about God's covenant being established forever with King David, the psalmist returns by saying in verse 38, but thou hast cast off and abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Now, whatever the context of the writing of this psalm, the king of Israel had apparently lost his grip and the nation had lost her place. And the psalmist is saying, God, you've been faithful in nature, you've been faithful in history, you've been faithful from the top to bottom, to the north, to the south, from the east to the west. And God, you've promised to be faithful to David. So God, what is happening? How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Well, look, it's important to remember that Luke 1, Christmas, is a reminder of the eternal faithfulness of God. In Luke 1:26, the Bible says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth." This same Gabriel had appeared to Daniel 700 years before and now appears to Mary. So there's a continuity in heaven that we do not find on earth. And he says to Mary, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus." Verse 32 of Luke 1 says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now catch this. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now look, here's the point. It's amazing to me that in Psalm 89, God inspired a psalm that literally says, "God, you're faithful, but I can't see that in the circumstances of the day." Maybe you felt that way. You know, it's Monday morning and your car won't start and your kids won't behave and your boss isn't kind and the traffic is horrible and you wonder, you know, what is the point of all this? You wonder about the faithfulness of God. Maybe there are things much more profound that make you question the faithfulness of God. And then in Luke 1, you find that Jesus, God the Son, would be given the throne of his father David, and there shall be no end of his kingdom. Now, did the angel mean that Jesus of Nazareth would literally rule on David's throne in that place going forward from his earthly ministry on? Can I tell you the point of all this is that Jesus embodies the faithfulness of God. Jesus is the faithfulness of God in a body. And you can be thankful for that. Let me give you three reasons. First of all, God's faithfulness through Jesus extends beyond Israel. How I thank God for the Jewish people through whom God has given the Lord Jesus. And yet, if you are like me, you may not be Jewish. Perhaps you're just Gentile. And yet God's faithfulness extends beyond geographical boundary or racial boundary or historical boundary. It extends beyond Israel. It includes Israel. Certainly God's plan has included Israel, but thank God it extends beyond Israel. Second of all, I'd say that God's faithfulness embodied in Jesus extends beyond earth. You know, there's coming a day where this earth will burn with a fervent heat, but let me tell you something, the faithfulness of God endures. And third of all, the faithfulness of God embodied in Jesus extends beyond time. Friend, look, David died. Every king that has ever lived eventually died. But God will be faithful. And what you need is a faithful God, not just in the things you can see temperamentally today, but a God whose faithfulness will continue beyond what you can see or perceive and will continue on into eternity. You know, it's interesting in Matthew's gospel, the wise men come looking for the Christ child and they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" He was born king. Every other monarchy, you're born a prince or a princess and then you become the monarch. You know, Prince Charles may never become king. Elizabeth may live for another 10 years. I don't know. But the point is, Jesus wasn't born a prince who eventually became king. He is eternally in the past the king. He is the sovereign. He was born the king. He threatened Herod. He rejoiced the wise men. And the bottom line is that Jesus embodies the faithfulness of God. That means it extends beyond what you perceive or feel or think today, and you can be glad of that.